CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs, they all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
An unknown author said, "Great people are ordinary people with extraordinary amounts of determination." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who have extraordinary amounts of determination. Our first playmaker runs a company that has built some of DFW's most iconic buildings, including DFW Terminal D, American Airlines Center, the Anatole Hotel, and the Towers of Williams Square. While our next playmaker is an attorney that runs a 76-year-old organization. With us today is the CEO of a company with over 7,000 employees that have 100% ownership in their company, while our next CEO leads the second largest chamber of commerce in North Texas. These great playmakers are David Walls. David is CEO of Austin Industries, and Rick Ortiz. Rick is CEO of the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and we're going to begin today's show with Rick. As I mentioned, Rick Ortiz is CEO and president of the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber and is in his third year as a leader of this 76-year-old organization. Now, under Rick's leadership, the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber has become the second largest chamber of commerce in North Texas with over 2,000 members. Now, Rick has been active with the chamber since 2005 and has served as chairman of the board from June 2009 to December of 2010. Prior to joining the chamber, Rick served as a Dallas attorney who specialized in business and tort litigation, managing cases up through the trial stage in state and federal courts. Well, Rick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Well, as an attorney, as a background, how does your legal background aid in running the second largest chamber in North Texas?
And that's a good question. That's how I mostly got involved with the chamber, through my volunteering to, you know, when I started practicing law, I got involved, began offering some legal services to some of the nonprofits that I was working with, and the chamber was one, and I ended up actually representing the chamber at some point. And if you're familiar with nonprofits, you know that there are a lot of ins and outs from the legal side of things. So it's helped me in a lot of different ways because you have governance and you have management, and there is a fine line between both. And how successful an organization is from the nonprofit side is determined very much so by the way it's operating from a legal standpoint. And so it's helped me quite a bit on that.
You have been with the chamber for a few years, but the chamber actually has an interesting background. I guess it was September of 1939 that a few men and women met at, interestingly enough, El Phoenix Restaurant, which has been around for a while on McKinney Avenue. How did that start, and why was there a need for, at the time, the Mexican Chamber of Commerce?
And a lot of this I was able to learn when we celebrated our 75th anniversary last year. I learned a lot about the history, the connection to the community, and it was, the history stems back to, yes, El Phoenix, and El Phoenix was really where a lot of the Hispanic community from Little Mexico they would congregate, they would meet, they would have dinner,
which was real close to that area,
very close, and so that a lot of the same business owners and community members were coming around, and they were talking about opportunities, and it was really about advocacy, and that's how we started. And so they came together, and as you know, strength in numbers, and coming together for a common purpose, and that's how it all began. And it started as an advocacy organization that has continued to be that, but evolved into much more.
And then in 1982, the name was changed to the Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I mentioned at the beginning that the chamber is the second largest chamber in terms of membership. You have over 2,000 members. What do you credit that to? Why are you able to sustain such a large chamber?
Well, a couple of reasons. The first is we're serving a growing demographic, as you know, the Hispanic community, 42% in Dallas County approximately, and you're seeing the same across the entire region. And that means that there are more Hispanic-owned businesses that are growing and sprouting across the region. So really 2,000 is we're not really even scratching the surface on how many we could be serving. So we've got a long way to go, but we're proud of the fact that we've done a lot. And the other reason is we have some really great programs for these businesses. And one of these programs that's been around since the early 90s, and we were the pilot program for, is one that's funded through the HUD, through the federal government. And most people think, well, HUD, that's housing. Really, there are some great programs through HUD that work with the low to moderate income community in terms of self-employment, starting a business. And so we've been working with our partnership with the city of Dallas. That's how we acquired the grant, the program, because it's through the federal government, goes through the municipality, which is the city of Dallas, and then we contract with them. And what we do is we offer free service to the low to moderate income community, and the numbers predominantly tend to be Hispanic, a lot of Spanish speakers that come through. And we offer that service, which is technical assistance, one-on-one, incubator opportunities, and much more. And we have to see roughly about 600 people a year through that program. And so that's how our numbers continue to grow, is you know, people keep coming in, and that's one of the pipelines into the chamber. There are many more, but that's really where you're seeing a lot of that growth.
And the fact that you have over 2,000 members means you have some cash coming in every year that you can expand and have these programs. We're speaking with Rick Ortiz. Rick is CEO and president of the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and their website is gdhcc.com. And I noticed by looking at your website, Rick, that there are a couple of programs, and if you can talk about these a little bit, that'll be helpful. But one of them is the Business Assistance Center and the Executive Entrepreneur Program. Tell us a little bit about those two.
Sure. And the Business Assistance Center is actually the one that I touched on right now. That comes through HUD in the city of Dallas, and that's where we work with these startups. Our strategy is to work with businesses from the startup phase to 10 million and above. And so the startup group is really the Business Assistance Center. What we do is we from zero to roughly a little less than $100,000 a year in revenues. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that we work with in that program. The Executive Entrepreneur Program is one that, when I started a couple of years back, what we identified is that we were doing such great work with startups. But the existing members, that's the bulk of our membership, they already have a business. So they're in business. So we didn't have a lot of programs for them. And so what we did is we worked with some of our partners. At the time, Citibank was actually our big partner. They came in and invested $500,000 to bring in a program, a curriculum, a proven curriculum. And what we did is we brought this in, and this program is really a capacity building program for those existing businesses that have been in business for at least 3 years. They're looking to scale. They have different challenges than a startup, as you know. Startups have much different. They're trying to get off the ground, and once you get off the ground, it's really once you grow, you start to realize, well, I can't do everything. I have to learn how to delegate, or eat. Something as simple as that. That's what people run into once they're in business. So those are the kinds of things we're working with them on.
So apparently, you get a tremendous amount of value by joining the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber because of these programs. Absolutely. That you offer.
Absolutely.
Well, you've been involved with the chamber for a long time. As you mentioned, you started offering some legal assistance to the chamber. You were chairman of the board for about a year and a half. As chairman of the board, as working with the chamber, did that help you formulate what you decided that the chamber needed prior to becoming CEO?
Yes. What it did, we were going through some transition. The economy was turning when I became chair. We didn't have a president at the time, that person had just left. We were in the process of starting a new selection process to hire somebody new. So as chairman, I had to take on both a dual role to some extent, that helped me understand what the chamber was doing more from a day-to-day standpoint and what the needs were from a resources standpoint and, you know, how we could better plan out the strategy going forward. That was crucial because many times a lot of us that serve on boards, you're seeing it from the governance view and not necessarily – you know, understanding what all the, if you're not getting all the information you need to make the best decisions for the organization, your decisions really impact how that management is able to operate. So
I give you, if nothing else, some insight prior to becoming the CEO. In our last minute or so, I want to bring this up because obviously you want people to come and become involved with the Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber. You have a Quality and Excellence Entrepreneurs Award Awards and Gala coming up in about a month and a half. Tell us a little about that and how people can find out more about it.
Well, it's our annual event. Everybody gets dressed up. So if you get a chance, we'd love to have you out there. It's our annual event. It's going to be taking place at the Renaissance this year, and we're excited. I don't know if you've been out there, but it's very nice the way they redid it. And we usually get about 600 plus that show up and but take part. And we recognize the success stories. We have about six awards categories for small businesses at different levels, and then we also recognize partners, the ones that make it happen. The backbone, really, of our chamber is our corporate partners, and they're the ones that really invest and provide the resources necessary to educate these small businesses and help them grow and support. And that's really where we come at the end of the year to recognize the success stories that come from these programs in the chamber and that are the ones that are making it happen and also the ones that are investing in it.
So you're honoring those who have taken it and run with it and became successful.
Absolutely.
Well, great. Well, Rick, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about the chamber and how they can become a member of the chamber.
Sure. The easiest and fastest way, obviously, is to be able to go to our website, which is GDHEC, www.gdhec.com. The other ways, obviously, social media. If you search Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce on Facebook, we'd love to have you like us. Same thing with Twitter. We're on Twitter as well. And so you could always call us, too, if you're one that likes to make a phone call, 214-521-6007.
And that number is also, as is the website, on our website, too, Playmakers Talk Show. Well, Rick, thank you very much for being a guest here on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you again.
This has been a great show so far, but don't go away. We have more. We're going to talk to the CEO of Austin Industries. His name is David Walls. We'll be back with David right after this.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk construction this segment. David Walls is president and CEO of Austin Industries, one of the nation's largest privately held employee-owned organizations. Austin's operating companies include Austin Bridge and Road, Austin Commercial, and Austin Industrial. They have projects including commercial office buildings, airports, hospitals, hotels, stadiums, universities, educational facilities, bridges, railroads, and roads and highways. Now, David began his career with Austin in 1980, where he became one of the premier field project managers before being named vice president and director of operations in 1988. He has served as president of Austin Commercial and is currently serving as president of Austin Bridge and Road in addition to his CEO position. With all that, David, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here, Steve.
Well, in doing some research, Austin Industries is coming up on 100 years in about 3 years, 1918. You have an interesting history with Charles Moore and Bill Solomon. So talk a little bit about the history of the company.
Yeah, the history really goes back to 1889. It was Austin Brothers. Mr. Moore went to work there in 1900 as a clerk of the works, and he bought the business in 1918, which lined up with the year TxDOT formed. So he really saw the vision, what was going to happen to the state of Texas. So we celebrate that when Mr. Moore bought the business in 1918. But technically, like I said, the business goes back to 1889.
So the business under Charles Moore is almost 100 years old, but it's even older than that.
Yes, sir.
And Bill Solomon, who is the grandson, did he get involved early on with the company?
Oh, yeah. Bill, I think when he got out of Harvard, he was like 26, and he came in and took the company over in the late 60s. And Bill retired here about 5 or 6 years ago. And Bill, of course, we did an ESOP in 1986 that we bought the family out from 86 to 2000. But he's class act, and really admire that man and the culture of the company. It's the reason I've stayed there all these years.
Well, the employee stock ownership program was relatively new back at that time. Was that correct?
Yeah, it was. And currently we have about 7,000 employee owners right now, and probably about 3,000 or 4,000 we're buying out. So somewhere 10 to 12,000 employee owners that were buy out over time.
That's amazing that a company of your size has something like that. So Bill Solomon had a great vision for where he wanted to take the company. Well, you're local. You grew up in Garland, and you started with them back in 1980. What's interesting is back at that time, that's about the time I moved to Dallas, and I feel like I've grown up here because so much construction has happened since 1980. What kind of projects were you involved with back, 35 years ago?
You know, the Las Galinas Inn and Conference Center, I was a project manager on that project, Dallas Morning News project. Of course, when that was built out in Plano, it was out in the middle of nowhere. Like, we were on temporary generators for about 6 months till we had power, so it kind of puts it in perspective. But, you know, then I did Centerport, some work out there, a lot of work for American Airlines. And then that's when I came in the main office and took over the operations in the late 80s.
Well, I want to talk about some of the projects that Austin Industries has been involved in, but even before that, I want to talk a little bit about the culture, the program, the company. We talked a little bit about that as we talked about what Bill Solomon did by developing that ESOP a few years ago. But talk a little bit about the culture of Austin Industries. Matter of fact, you wrote a book called World Class Safety Program, which really is a book on leadership. Talk about that. Matter of fact, I'm going to add one more thing in there, too. You had there was a job site fatality that changed the way you looked at safety, which helped you move toward that book, too. So with all that I just asked, talk a little bit about the culture, safety, and your book.
Well, you know, culture is the DNA of a company, just like we have DNA. It defines who we are. It's our behaviors, how we behave. We have a culture. We want people to do the right things for the right reasons when no one's looking. That's when you have high-performance organizations, and that's the reason all these years I've stayed, because my personal beliefs along with the company beliefs align, and it's like a family environment that Mr. Moore and Bill created throughout the years. So it's a great, great culture, and we really value our people. And when you ultimately think we're not an Intel or an Apple, it's got this great product. People get up 3 o'clock in the morning to buy on Thanksgiving Day. We're a company, it's our people. We're selling our expertise and our people and our integrity and doing what we say. So that's really our culture. I got passionate about safety several years ago. I guess by the time we had our fourth child, a young man was killed on one of our projects. And when the father stuck his finger in my face and asked me, "Why did you kill my son? Why did you kill my son?" I thought, well, I just had a little daughter, and I thought, how would I feel if one of my children were just plucked away from me? Just so really, that was a defining moment. Tragedies become defining moments, so that's when I really got passionate about safety. So all these years, that's something I've really focused on, and we really have good world-class safety performance. But it's when you ultimately think we're in positions of authority that people either live or die due to our action or inaction, so that's really a sacred moral responsibility that we take very serious at our organization.
Well, you have a employee stock ownership program. Has that caused people to have a longer tenure with your companies in Austin Industries?
Yes, you know that. You know that it's a very diverse employee ownership program, so it's shared across all levels of the organization. So, what the theory is, of course, the family wanted an orderly transition. They didn't want to sell the company to some foreign firm, so they loved the employees and wanted to sell it over time. So it was a great, great way to transfer a lot of wealth to, from a small family to thousands of people. But you know, we hope that our people act and think like owners, because they are. They have a piece of the company, and hopefully they're going to behave in a way that an owner would, that make long-term decisions, not short-term decisions that are just for the money at the time. But, you know, what are the kind of decisions we need to make to keep our organization going another 100 years? And that's something that leadership I'm very passionate about. We have a lot of training programs growing the next two generations of people to take the business over. So something we really focus on is, it's a good sell, because as you're telling your employee owners, if you don't train the people below you, you may not like the value of your stock when you retire. So it's a good concept.
So this is my company.
Exactly.
And what I do or don't do impacts my business.
Exactly.
That's a great concept. We're speaking with David Walls. David is CEO of Austin Industries. Their website is austin-ind.com if you'd like to check it out. Matter of fact, there's an excellent video on there, and I was very impressed with that when I saw how the employees reacted about the company. They are owners of the company. Question I want to ask you, your book is called World Class Safety Program. Is this available to the public?
Yes, it is. It's available to the public, and you can just go Google worldclasssafetyprogram.com, and you can find it. So, very easy to get.
Well, you have an interesting leadership style. We were talking a little bit about this before we started the show. How did you develop that style?
You know, early in my career, I was thrown into a position that my boss was removed, and I was working with a lot of older World War II superintendents, older men that really taught me a lot, sense of urgency, but then maybe the people skill side of it needed to be improved a little bit. So I learned that as a leader, it's your responsibility. You can dictate orders all day long, but if people don't want to do it, then it's probably not going to get done. So, you know, I'm big on building consensus and teamwork, and that fits in with the culture of when you build a large, complex project, you know, like the kind of work that we build all over. It takes thousands of people and thousands of engineers, architects, craftsmen. So you've got to build consensus and build a team, because one person doesn't get a whole lot done in life. And as I often remind younger people, you're not a leader if you don't have followers. So if nobody wants to follow you, then you're probably not going to get a lot done in life.
You spent, as you mentioned, we were talking earlier, about 6 years getting your PhD in leadership from Dallas Baptist University. How did that study impact what you're doing?
Well, it really reinforced, you know, it had been 25 plus years since I'd been in college when I went back to get that PhD, and it really sharpened my saw. You know, I'm a big believer that you need to be learning in life on a daily basis, and when you get to the point you think you've learned it all, it's probably time to hang it up and get out of the business. So really sensitized me the importance of leadership and growing the next generation or two. We had some of those programs, but we really put it on steroid, because as I studied other companies and saw what they were doing, you know, the long-term successful companies that hang around for 100-plus years like we have, and the GEs of the world have intensive training programs and grow the next generation of people. So it's something we really focus on in our organization, but it was really just a self thing to make sure that I was keeping my mind sharp as I get older.
Well, you've mentioned this before, and as you talk about DNA, it seems like leadership and professional development is a part of what Austin Industries is all about.
Right, right, right.
Well, you have three companies under that, including Austin Bridge and Road, Austin Industrial. But people driving around Dallas may not know some of the iconic buildings that you have built. Tell us a little bit about some of the ones we'd recognize.
Well, our company, we built the 72-story down. We built the Ross Building, which is the Chase with a hole in it in downtown. We built several downtown. We built Ray Hunt's building there on Woodall Rogers, the sloped one. If you just American Airlines Center, DFW, Terminal D, EDS. I mean, we're building Toyota right now and State Farm, so we like to focus on large, complex jobs, and again, it's our people. As I mentioned earlier, that's our precious resource. And when a client, you know, our business model is long-term relationships with a client. We're not just trying to build one job. We're trying to build a relationship with our client and a lot of our clients that we've worked for, you know, decade after decade. because, we want to be trusted, we're integral, and, we want to treat our owners and our subcontractors like the good book, do unto others, you have them do unto you, and it's a pretty simple business model, but if you follow it that way, you'll generally have more work than what you know what to do with.
Well, there's hundreds of thousands of construction companies available to do any kind of work, but as you said, it's not the fact there's so many, it's the people employed by that company, and that's what makes you different.
Our business is full of stories, and one of our employee owners, real good friend of mine, Gil Holt, died of cancer here, and he was our fourth employee owner at Austin Commercial. And if cancer has any benefit, it teaches you that you're dying daily, and you better have a lot of conversations. So as I was going to see him at the hospital about a week or two before he died, I was telling him how much I cared for him and loved him and valued him as an employee owner. Everybody wanted to work for Gil. And he looked me in the eye and he said, I chose in life to value people, not things, because people have eternal value and things don't last very long. And I thought, what an epitaph. If you value people and invest in people, just like raising children, you'll have tremendous dividends. Plus, raising children is a lot of work. That's probably the reason I've worked so many hours all these years. I've been married to my wife going on 38 years with four children, and raising a family is hard work, and just like running a business is hard work, but you get what you invest in people, and I thought that was wise of what Gil told me.
That's a great way to end our conversation. You really have two families. You have the David Walls family and Austin Industries, and you're passionate about both. Tell everybody one more time how they can find you on the web.
Yeah, if you just go Google and do worldclasssafety.com, it will pop up. And that book is not on Amazon. It's just on there, but you can find it, and it's real easy to find. But it's really a lot more book on leadership, whether you're leading a safety program, a company, or your family. It's just leadership principles that are really common sense things that we all ought to know.
Well, David, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Honored to be here.
David Walls is the CEO of Austin Industries. This has been a terrific show. Thank you all very much for joining us. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.